K-Mud Podcast presents.
Yeah, it's been a heck of another week in the world. Of course, well, okay, today there was a major outage of the X platform, formerly known as Twitter. Are we going to say formerly known as Twitter? I mean, it's...
As long as we feel like we don't have to.
Well, it's sort of a dumb name, so you have to define. What do you mean by X? And
then, so, I don't think so any more than what do you mean by Elon?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, there was a interesting protest sign I saw the other day that said F Elon, and which, of course, spells felon. I don't know if he's a felon yet, but I was just reading about some of his machinations around Tesla compensation, his pay package. Up till last year, anyway, he only owned about 12% of the company. I mean, he's Mr. Tesla, but he's the biggest stockholder, but only 12%. I think
he has the voting shares.
Yeah.
And what he sold to the public didn't have voting rights.
Right. So his stuff is tanking now and of course he's being protested. There's been lots of vandalism going on at Tesla dealerships and so on. But the interesting thing was during that, in the last several months here, there was a controversy over his pay package. The company, I guess, is, as many companies are, incorporated in Delaware, which has, generous benefits for corporations. The rules they have, everybody wants to be in Delaware because that's where you get away with stuff.
Well, there's a separate chancery court for corporations,
right?
Entirely populated by corporate lawyers. So it's worth buying a mailbox there.
Right. His case, though, where his board of directors was going to compensate him in a certain way, was thrown out by two different chancery courts. They said, no, that's not right somehow. And there was some notion that the board had been manipulated or pressured and didn't understand, and so par for the course, not understanding process.
Well, I think any board that gives their CEO pay of $56 billion a year isn't paid to understand
anything. They don't understand, yeah. No, it's – yeah. But it's a dark day for – I mean, as somebody pointed out to me, if Elon would step away from the company, Tesla might make a go of it. I mean, except for the stupid truck they just made. There's a reason they're financially successful is because they were the most popular electric car for a period there.
Back when there was no competition,
yeah.
They were number one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now it's different.
Yeah. Tell it to Henry Ford. Yeah. He had a great thing going until everybody else was making cars. but how fast is time moving? I guess it was last Friday that the White House erupted in chaos, right? It was just last Friday. Not last Friday. No, it was a week ago Friday.
Zelensky?
Yeah, a week ago Friday.
Okay.
I
can give some fresh perspective on that.
Okay,
if anyone can stand it.
Let me just ask one question.
Sure.
Maybe you can answer this question because I have yet to... Well, first of all, seen any pundit ask the question, but then I don't even know who to ask to get an answer. How exactly was signing a deal for Ukrainian mineral rights or resources in any way a path to peace?
That's easy.
Yeah?
Yeah. The Trump administration and Congress have agreed all along that America will not put boots on the ground in Ukraine.
Right.
But if we put factories on the ground in Ukraine, we will be required to hire protectors of it, and those protectors will be Amerikanskis, though they won't be federales. They'll just be, retired American soldiers instead of American soldiers. But it means that we will have a monetary and physical commitment, especially to eastern Ukraine. the ugly fact is, this is it's amazing this isn't in the newspapers. Most of these rare earth mines that we're so eager to exploit are in territories already controlled by Russia.
Right.
So we would be making deals with Russia as well as Ukraine to have our non-boots on the ground assuring the peace. That's the way it thinks. Now, I don't think any of this is going to come to anything.
Yeah, it sounds like a non-starter to me. But
Yeah. But I think the point of it is, it's a goodwill gesture that, to Putin, saying, you know, we want to make a deal so that we have assurances that there will be stability. And because we're spending money there, we're not going to cut and run the way we always cut and run when things don't go our way. It's going to be different this time, baby. You'll see. Just
I figured that the deal would also include selling those minerals to Russia so we can jack up
Russia's
the price.
Russia's already
right?
got them. These minerals go on all the way across Siberia. Russia doesn't need them.
I've seen a little analysis of what it would, you know, the time frame involved in exploitation of all these resources. It's not a turnkey operation. I mean, the exploration, development, and you know, it's so that doesn't, in my mind, it still doesn't create peace. I mean, it's not a mechanism.
No, I think what we've seen in the first couple months of Trump's new administration is the whole bowl of pasta flying at the wall, and we're all watching to see if anything sticks.
Yeah.
I think he has a lot of proposals to make noise with. But the essential thing is he's going to get rid of Zelensky, because that is a bottom line requirement of the Russians. The Russians don't want to make any deals with Zelensky, and so Trump has made it apparent that Zelensky's on his way out. That's really the most important news to come out of everything in the past week.
Yeah.
We won't support Zelensky anymore. That means that either he'll have to be replaced, or we'll have to declare a ceasefire long enough to have elections where he will be legally replaced.
Yeah, but then the Europeans immediately embraced Zelensky. So, and they're sort of got more skin in the game in a way.
Europeans are cute, you know. They do these things once in a while, just because they have, you know, their own ideas about what it would be like to be independent if they were. They don't have an army. They don't have a budget. They don't have weapons. They've depleted what few weapons they had. The Europeans are the first to say, we're going to fight. Let's you go fight them with America. And when America doesn't fight with them, they don't have a force.
Well, but as we see, things are changing. I mean, this could be...
Talk about long term.
Yeah, long term. I mean, the idea that, okay, maybe this is the point at which Europe begins to rearm themselves in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And
which won't do Zelensky a tootin' bit of good.
Yeah, well,
he'll be gone before the first factory produces its first shell.
As somebody pointed out, just what we want to see, Germany rearming itself. We know where that's been in the past. But, you know, every European conflict, the World War I and World War II, the United States was adamant we won't enter that war until we did.
That's a good point.
And so I always wonder, I mean, is this continues? I mean, you know, the United States could end the war. All they'd have to do is get aggressive.
Stop sending weapons. Yeah,
well,
and
no,
money.
I was thinking more of going to the front lines and saying, do not advance. You know, that's.
I don't think that will matter now. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Putin has put it all on the line. He said, look, we told you all along this is unacceptable. This is existential. We're not going to let it happen. And we didn't. And to think that now we can magically change the nature of the war. No, the magical change to the war is America stopping it.
Yeah, we'll see. With the French now saying that they would advance their nuclear umbrella to be Europe-wide, which in my mind, well, hasn't it always been? I mean, they're not going to wait till the enemy's on the border of France to deploy nukes.
They don't have an official. The thing is that the official nukes defending Europe are American, and the French are outside of the American security arrangements. So
right.
France would have to have its own equivalent to the NATO codes that, you know, Section 5 says an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us if any of us feel that way. And the French don't have an equivalent agreement right now.
And the
Germans don't want to be protected by the French. They want to take over the French. So, you know, that's...
Wait, isn't that...
These are more complicated questions.
Yeah, isn't that where this all started, this European peace thing?
Oh, I mean, you have a memory.
Yeah,
what kind of American are you?
The idea that, I mean... say what you will about NATO, but the concept was that there hasn't been inter-European fighting for a long time because of this cooperation effort allied against a common enemy, so-called. I mean, you know, the enemy
of
my...
not just NATO, but yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, just the alignment of world situation has created an incentive to be peaceful. And so now faced with aggression from the East, which nobody thought would actually ever come down.
Which was invented by the West and which we can wait and see whether it actually exists if we ever stop this stupid war.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact remains, you know, Russia invading Ukraine was optional. They could have continued to be adamant in their position in ways that
Their adamant position had been treated with contempt to the point that if they hadn't invaded, there would now be NATO missiles on the mother Russian border at, in the heart of Ukraine. That's a fact, and that's the fact that Putin rejected. That's why we're fighting. Putin said, no, no, you don't understand. When we say you're not going to do it, what we mean is you're not going to do it. It's just like when Biden said to the Germans, you're not going to buy Nord Stream oil. You're not going to buy Nord Stream gas. We're not going to let you do it. And the Germans said, we're just going to. So he blew it up. You're not going to do it means you're not going to do it. And I think Trump understands that from Putin. I don't know whether Biden understands anything, but it's. I'm glad he's gone.
So I've found a compilation that it's actually grisly. There's a, it looks like a photograph of a pile of skulls, and you zoom in, and each one of them is a picture of a dead Russian soldier. This site has, through various records and so on, compiled confirmed Russian soldier kill of 95,994, but say that there's probably closer to 165,000. Russian soldiers have been killed. It's like broken down by where they came from. And
mm-hmm. And where does this come from? Ukrainskaya, I assume.
No, it's zona.media. It's...
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, they've got their sourcing down.
Remember the first
here.
Casualty of war. We have no idea how many are dead on either side. All we know for certain is that many more Ukrainians are dead than Russians. That's all we can know.
So this is actually mediazona.russia.belarus.centralasia. I have not yet to find exactly where it's coming from, but if it's my thought was that it was Russians that are not in Russia. But yeah, I mean, of course, but they've got these nice graphics with sources where the information is coming from. And there are others keeping track of that kind of thing, too. I mean, basically the concept is that in Russia, things aren't what they seem necessarily. And how would we know? I was interested to see Timothy Snyder, Yale historian, has been around, making the rounds, talking on various sources. He did a little book back in 2017, early Trump years, called On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. It was a little tiny book. It was like, you know, one of those books like a Chairman Mao, a little red book you can wave and say, aha. And he just went through and cracked down it's a small format book with 128 pages, and it's going through history of like the 20 kind of precursors of tyranny. And, you know, what one of the things was, you know, don't agree in advance. You know, I mean, we're seeing the playbook happening. You know, the things that he says to watch out for are sort of like happening. And
I don't understand what that means. Don't agree to what in advance?
You know, I'm looking for – I don't have the details in my – I have the book, but I don't have it with me. Basically, he's cracking down the keystones of latent tyranny, you know, what's happening when tyranny is on the move, you know.
So don't accept tyranny until you have to. Is that kind of what he's saying?
Right.
Okay.
It's 20 lessons, bracing. But anyway, the idea that things, you know, the manufactured disasters that it seems to me, you know, that it was widely perceived that episode in the White House with Zelensky was sort of scripted by Trump and Vance as a way to provoke and hoping that he would lash out in some way, but they were forced to anyway. So, and things like the address to the joint house the other day when Trump, Al Green, Representative Al Green, got a little vocal and was escorted out, and Johnson had the script ready to enact the Sergeant of Arms action to remove him. You know, he was reading from his paperwork to have the formal words for removing a member of Congress from the hall.
Yeah.
I think the idea that they would prefer it got messier, you know, so that the idea that you could then crack down. I mean, the day after that, there was rumors circulating that somebody had suggested that Derek Chauvin, the convicted kneeler upon what was his name? Floyd, George Floyd's neck, should be pardoned, you know, and I thought, well, and this is like the day of or the day before the bloody, what was it, Bloody Monday or Bloody Sunday, the Edmund Pettus Bridge riot experience. And I thought, what better way to get people in the street if you were going to want to crack down and say, see, they're leftist terrorists, no-gooders, while Stephen Miller is calling Saturday Night Live the Church of Woke, where comedy goes to die. Just the rhetoric and the attitudes towards these provocative. I mean, the idea of being provocative so that response will be had. And I think it's coming. I mean, already we see a lot of more people getting in people's faces than we've seen recently. We do have a caller. I'm struggling here to make sense, so let's take a call.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I follow.
Okay.
I don't agree. Hello, caller.
Hello, caller.
Hey, how are you folks doing?
Oh,
hey,
pretty
welcome.
Good.
Thank you. Did you happen to catch what Zelensky was trying to say?
Sure. He's been saying it for 3 years. Give me more.
What?
No. No. No, I don't.
All
I
right,
mean,
sum it up.
That's not what he's trying to say. I don't.
Uh-huh.
I don't think.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Tell us what he said.
Well, what I heard was you can't have peace without justice.
Yeah, I think so.
And
that's the guy who has banned the 11 opposition parties after he shut down the parliament and is running a martial law government for the last year and refused to stop his government after his term of governance expired.
He's talking
about justice.
Do you recall that the parliament has indicated that elections can't be conducted while there's a war going on,
which would require a ceasefire, which he says is out of the question until the Russians retreat from every inch that they have taken of Ukraine. In other words, he's emperor for life. But he talks about justice.
No, that's not what he's saying at all.
That's not what he's saying.
That's what he's doing. Of course he doesn't say
that. No, that's not what he's doing.
I'm just saying what he does.
That's what he's forced into. What he's saying,
go ahead.
Like what I hear him saying, would you like to hear what I hear?
Yes.
I already did. Go ahead.
No, you didn't.
Okay,
you didn't
continue.
Hear what I had to say.
Continue, please.
Okay, what I hear him saying is there's all of these soldiers that not only have rifles, but they also have the most unexploded armaments, like all the bombs, per square mile that has ever been there. Mm-hmm. On top of that, they've lost everything. Like whoever started it, whatever you want to call that, the situation that they're in, there's tons of, like, a lot of people in Ukraine who have lost everything. And not only have they lost everything, but they've seen their children burned alive,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's the thing that, like, it drives me crazy that, like, I hear all these Republican people always talking about, oh, I got my guns. I'm gonna stand up to this and that. Imagine being a Ukraine person and your family got raped and burned alive. What would you do? Would you just, like, give up because Zelensky signed a piece of paper? you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, and traditionally any invading force that's trying to control the homeland of others is at a disadvantage because the people that are in defense of that move are very motivated to hold on to their...
But let's remember that the oblasts that Putin invaded, supposedly, are the ones that seceded from Ukraine with overwhelming legal votes saying we don't want any part of this ultra-nationalist Ukraine thing that says that Russian-speaking people and Russian culture people don't have a right to exist in Ukraine. That was the cause of the separation. And the eastern half of Ukraine that seceded is not who you're talking about. Nonetheless, it's half the population. I'm sorry?
It's pretty mixed up. It's not just east and west.
It is mixed up. I'm speaking in generalities. Yeah, in generalities, you know, it's east and west. Mm-hmm.
And if any, like, could you imagine, like, going through that war and then seeing, like Halliburton and Exxon aren't they'll barely be able to land their planes, let alone start mining and having heavy equipment.
Yeah,
that heavy equipment is going to get blown out of the water. Unless there's some kind of justice.
I don't understand. What are you suggesting? That because they're going to lose the war, they're going to blow up people who are trying to make money?
No,
I don't
what
understand.
What I'm talking about is a narco state being formed. That's what I'm talking about.
But the narco state exists.
Like, it's already Ukraine is already a heavy trafficked area. They already grow a lot of opium. They already grow a lot of weed.
Yeah, right.
So it's like chaos. That's what. And Putin knows that.
Yeah.
Putin knows that there's no way that anybody, like, that any... without Putin apologizing or even being hung, like, short of that, there's so many people in Ukraine that are just going to, like, fight to the end now because, like, they've lost their children. They've lost their families. You know, they're, like, unless you give those people something, like, if you just take more, if you take all their resources from them, like, forget it. Like, they're going to, like, as you've seen it happen before in history where a similar thing happens, and the state turns into a narco-terrorist state. You know, like, all, like, and Putin right now, he's, like, in Russia, there's like, the all the indigenous people are pretty pissed off because they're the ones that have lost the most people. There's a lot of people in Russia that are up in arms also.
Yeah.
And so it's like, a pretty hectic situation. And
that's the nature
way Trump
of war,
and the right – I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that the nature of war is chaos, of course, but unpredictability. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like the correct route is to say this person did this. What is the punishment for that? Just like with Netanyahu, it's the same thing.
But Putin is winning the war. That's the
not,
problem.
That's
you
not,
don't
no,
know that.
We
have no
know.
Idea what's going on.
I don't.
Like
I don't buy
like,
it.
Like I could sit there and say the opposite.
Yeah.
I see the same.
I read every day about the crawling Russian advances along the front, and they're moving towards the Dnieper River.
I was just reading today.
You have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, no, I just read today about reversals.
You can't say who's winning, who's losing. You have no idea.
I believe you're dead wrong, just for your information. And I understand where you
How
get
you
your
know?
So-called information
How do you
from.
Know?
Because I spend time learning about it, not
well,
just reading the New York Times.
Because you're watching some show on TV and you see and you're
no,
listening
I
to
don't
somebody
go on
talk,
TV to
like
learn anything.
Point.
I wouldn't
There's
dream
no
of going on TV to learn anything.
Whatever you're watching or it's not.
Okay. No Everything you learned on TV is wrong. Has no one told you that before? Really?
Yeah, I'm wrong a lot, but right now I'm telling you that there's no way to know who's winning or losing this war.
Okay,
like, we're sitting here in America.
Okay.
Go to Ukraine and then tell me.
Piece.
Go
Fine.
Fly to Ukraine and then tell me what you see, and then I'll believe you. Okay?
Yes, okay. Thanks a lot for your call. We've got other callers.
You too. Thanks for your call.
We got some more callers.
Good.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, great conversation here. Very emotional.
Yeah, that's the nature of war.
Time for emotion.
The year is
Stuff's happening.
25, and the Cold War is done. And my simple question is, why are the American people so afraid of Putin? What has Putin said or done in the last 20, 15, 10, 5 years to threaten the United States of America? Besides the pockets of our politicians and their interest financially in Ukraine, why are the American people eating the propaganda and are so afraid of Russia? That is my question.
I don't know if the population in general is afraid of Russia. I think the geopolitically, the tradition of having an enemy has served a certain class for sure. But, you know, I guess I keep going back to the idea of hot war. You know, there is – when somebody – at any time, Putin could – not be fighting, and that would cause a peace to a degree. I mean, that's the absence of fighting and killing makes an inroad to peace, no matter what happens next.
May I just interject that Ukraine had been bombing, strafing, and blowing artillery indiscriminately at the cities of eastern Ukraine for the previous 8 years before Putin's armies came in.
That wasn't in a vacuum. There was a lot of politics going on.
My point is, if you stop Putin blowing them up, then Western Ukraine will be blowing up eastern Ukraine. That's what they were doing when the invasion began.
But there was...
to say that, you know, if Putin stopped being a bad boy, the Ukrainians will stop at blowing up their own people. There's absolutely no foundation for that statement of faith. Zero. Because that's what they were doing eagerly for 8 years while preventing anyone from having a right to complain about it.
There was a ceasefire in that operation, and the Russians were sending the little green men with unofficial insignia across the border and reinforcing armaments in that area.
And you can say that's the reason why the cities were being indiscriminately bombarded. You can say that. Or you can say that there was a war already on that will continue to go on, a civil war between the east and the western halves of Ukraine if Putin leaves. And to say, as a matter of faith, that if Putin stops being a meanie, everybody will be groovy. That's not going to happen. That's not what
I'm not saying office. That. I'm saying the first wave of having peace is to stop killing no matter what happens next.
But it won't stop the killing. It'll stop one half.
If Russia stopped attacking Ukraine would say, okay, they're not killing us now. Let's wait and see what's next and talk about stuff. Hey, we've got three callers. I think this high-pitched conflict encourages callers, so let's see what they have to say.
All right, good. Hello, caller. We got one?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Caller.
You're on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. What I want to say, first of all, is Putin is a monster. He's not a bad boy. He is a monster. I don't see, Charlie, and I hope you can chill your heels for just a second here, and I've asked you this before, why are you such an apologist for Putin? Why are you so against everything?
I'm paid in cheap vodka. Please don't insult me with this nonsense. Please don't bother. If you want to bother, I will talk back in kind. Do you want to go there? If you don't want to go there, don't bother.
Have you gone there? Have you gone there?
No. I believe in actual peace, not TV peace. I believe in people understanding problems rather than using problems to make more money for themselves.
Okay, I'm asking you. Why, though? Why do you always seem to be taking the side of Russia and saying how they've been in the right? Poor big Russia has always been in the right. I don't know. You do know this because you're a very smart guy. You know about Holodomor.
Yeah.
And I think that you should know something about Russian history, and you know that they've harassed. I know you do. I know a little bit, not as much as you, because I'm not on the news and I'm not looking 24, 25 hours a day at what's going on in the world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I have
it's not
to
healthy.
Say that Russia has always harassed Ukraine. And Russia made Ukrainians give their language up. They tried to wreck their culture. So why are you putting everything on poor eastern Ukraine and the Russians in eastern Ukraine? I mean, Russia has tried to wreck Ukraine's culture. That's all I have to say on this, and I'm getting too emotional. But you are very emotional, and sometimes you should let your other callers speak instead of be so aggressively shutting them off. And I might give something to K-Mud.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. I apologize for letting you speak. I know it contradicted your argument. The essential point about Russia is that it is four times the size of Ukraine, and it will crush it like a grape whenever it
How's that going?
So much bigger, so much more powerful. It's going fine.
3 years
because
later, and 165,000 Russians.
A whole generation of Ukraine men systematically until Ukraine comes to its senses
and
recognizes that it can't become Paris of the Baltic.
Russian men are being killed as well.
But the point isn't who's right, who's wrong, who's up, who's down, who's a monster, who's a saint like Zelensky. All that is nonsense. The point is, Russia will win. Russia was always doomed to win. America never had any delusion, as deluded as we are, that Ukraine could win against Russia. It wanted to use Ukraine to weaken Russia so that we could create more problems in Russia so that eventually somebody would overturn Putin. And it didn't work.
Not yet.
Should stop killing people. That's why I support Russia and drink cheap vodka.
We got more callers. Let's see. Yes. Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Nope.
Hey, how you doing?
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Welcome.
Let me explain what's going on with one question.
Okay.
Do you think there's a pee tape? That was a big issue.
You know,
that was invented by the Democrats. This is documented.
No, wait. Now listen to me. Now you guys want to argue? Okay.
I mean, it's not worth arguing about. Read the papers.
Yeah. No.
Wait. Come on. Let's talk.
You know who went to Russia?
He went into a hotel room. That hotel room had microphones and bugs and cameras. This is what they do. Everyone that person talked to was a spy in some way, trying to get him to do something. I mean, it's so obvious that there is a pee tape.
Well,
this is what's going on.
Except that it doesn't exist. That's the only problem with the story. That's why the Democrats had to give up on it.
He's scared. It's a pee tape. It's just what he said. There's a whole movie about what he said in these hotel rooms when he went to Russia.
So
and you're telling me he went to Russia and he was not in a room that was bugged?
Let me say whether or not there's an actual pee tape, I mean that is apocryphal, but the concept of Trump being a Russian asset has been discussed by former KGB agents that, you know, purportedly in the know, somebody wrote a book, a guy who's got credentials in the intelligence agencies over there.
We don't know what happened in that hotel room.
Well, regardless of that, the idea...
We don't know what spies were lured in there. We don't know how many pretty girls were sent in there to do what they could
No, the idea...
This is what Russia does, my friend.
Yeah, no, the idea that they're...
This is no different than Jeffrey Epstein, you know, and he's got all these tapes we don't see, but he has blackmailed all these people. You want to get rich and famous people on your side? You blackmail them.
Yeah, no. So the idea that early on in Trump's career, he was identified as they call a useful idiot, you know, not that he's a deep state agent, but that
he went there.
Well, not only that, he had tenants in Trump Tower that were Russian gangsters, you know. So the idea that
let's just put all this together so that we can talk intelligently.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to. Wait, let me get a word in here. The idea that what's the Russian term for material that's
kompromat.
Kompromat. Yeah, the compromising material, whether it's P tapes or what, the financial records, who knows? But the idea that gaining control over a potential asset, somebody who's not necessarily under your command, but somebody that can be manipulated. And Donald Trump fits the bill so well for being somebody who's egotistical and vain and greedy and just all the characteristics that could be used.
Seven sins. He's got
one quality, which is all important. That one quality is that he is utterly shameless, and he doesn't care what he's busted at, and he doesn't care what...
Everything he does is a lie.
What? What are you talking about? He's caught in lies 10 times every day, and it has no effect on him. He's attacked again and again for his sexual...
Only the devil lies, my friend. God doesn't lie. Only the devil lies. Okay. All lies to the devil.
What? I'm not talking about God or the devil. I'm talking about Donald Trump.
I'm talking about
Donald Trump can't be blackmailed because he's shameless. consider that possibility.
No,
okay?
He's on tape. He's afraid of that tape coming out. When that tape comes out, I believe you are going
to understand. It's high time to see the
what
tape.
What a horrible
if you ask
person
me.
He is. He's not a good person. He's not a family man. He don't care about your business. All he cares about is his money.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks for your call. I think we've got another one waiting. Yes. Yes. Poof. Hot and heavy.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Yeah. Hello. You're on the air. Nope. Okay. We lost you. Call back.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a there was at least two KGB guys or KGB affiliate agencies, Curtis, I can't remember which Stan it was. Kyrgyzstan, is that a... Anyway, who pretty authoritatively have indicated that, yes, this was a plan. And in fact, the idea of Trump getting political was kind of whispered in his ear. So it remains to be seen. I mean, whether we'll ever get any of that information or if it's closely or the other possibility, too, of course, is there's some deal involved, some payola. You know, that's the kind of thing he wouldn't want to come out, is that he's getting paid under the table to do something.
But explain to me why there has to be something on Trump for Trump to recognize that the American gambit in Ukraine has failed dismally.
It's not so much
going to kill more people.
It's not so much as that.
Why not stop doing it?
It's not so much.
What if that were a possibility, too?
Well, of course, it's a possibility, but it's not so much that as sort of echoing and supporting the Russian point of view. I mean, that's a different aspect of that.
Russians have a legitimate point of view. Zelensky's point of view is give me more stuff from America so I can stay in power until I'm overturned. That's Zelensky's point of view. And, you know, there's nothing we should have to pay another $100 billion for in that value. And Trump recognizes it. Okay, he's a businessman. Yeah, he wants to make money. He wants the investments to make sense. Our investment in Ukraine is tits up. And, you know, it's a shame they don't say that on TV, but everybody in Europe knows it too. That's why they're desperately trying to concoct some formula for backing Ukraine after
so
Trump
do you not believe that Europeans are nervous about Russia because of what's going on?
Oh, I do. It's a cultural nervousness that goes back centuries. Absolutely. But it's being exploited by certain interests. I believe that, too. No, I think their fear is real. It shocked me when I saw it manifesting because I really thought they were a little more adult than that. But after 40 years of vassalage to America, where they didn't have to have any concern with foreign policy because it wasn't their department, they don't know how to think clearly.
Well, you know, tanks are pouring over the frontier, it kind of gets some generational trauma going, I bet you. I mean, you know, the Europeans have been through war viscerally, you know, on their territory. We've never really experienced that. It's a different psychology.
It's not a recent trauma that is being tapped by this anti-Russian frenzy.
No. I mean, it's long held. I mean, the idea that just last week they dug up a World War II bomb in, where was it, Germany or London? I can't remember. A big old dangerous 75-year-old bomb.
They dig them up in Germany every year.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a real thing. There's like the fields of Flanders are fertilized with human blood, you know.
Yeah.
Do we have a caller? I hear the phone ringing. Are these people calling in to give money to KMUD so they can hear more vigorous debate on the air?
Right. Let's fight about KMUD for a change.
Yeah,
what's wrong with KMUD anyway?
No.
Why am I talking for KCYX? What's the matter with me?
Right. The great inter-county wars. Where are the tanks? Where are the tank traps?
I think the reason I'm so passionate right now is that there was no possibility of peace as long as the Biden husk was pushed around the White House. Now there is a possibility of peace in Ukraine, and I think that possibility should be not mollycoddled, not accepted. I mean, we don't even know what the terms of peace could possibly be, except that we do know very particularly from before the beginning what the Russian terms are. And they are the basis for negotiation. When they introduced them formally in a treaty, it was for a basis of discussion. It wasn't saying, this is everything that we want or we go home. They were saying, this is our draft of a treaty. You guys, you know, amend the treaty and send us what you want. And we treated that with contempt. We didn't even acknowledge it as a diplomatic correspondence. That was what happened 3 months before the Russians invaded. And it's things like that that are just so offensive, so irresponsible, it's like the meeting with Zelensky. I mean, obviously the thing was staged. Obviously the Trumpsters were going to humiliate the poor bozo because they were getting rid of him. They're ditching him, and they want everybody to understand they're ditching him. So they ditched him.
Yeah,
but that's what we do. We don't engage in diplomacy. We engage in arrogant bullying. That's our style. We're America.
But they embarrassed themselves. I mean, Zelensky came out of that looking strong to me. I mean, the fact that he held his emotions and tried to speak his truth, and they ranted on in absurd ways.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah. Our American diplomacy has been not just embarrassing, but humiliating ever since Biden came into office. And Trump, of course, is nothing but, you know, an embarrassment. So he's carrying on in the fine tradition.
So yesterday, Marco Rubio is heading to Saudi Arabia to talk this stuff out a little more. And boy, you know, we're going to see in the coming days what's coming up with that. But, you know, closer to home, the other thing that has been happening, President Donald Trump signed an executive order earlier this month ordering large parcels of forest to be chopped down.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing. I mean, we're going to hear about that more locally. Of course, we're talking about federal lands, but there's certainly a move afoot to privatize federal lands even more than they already are.
Well, they don't even have to be privatized. He just has to shut the Forest Service up and cut them down.
Yeah.
Same thing with offshore drilling. He's just going to do it. He can, he will.
Well,
same thing with destroying Alaska. He will. He's doing it all.
I got to quibble at the offshore drilling. The United States government does not drill oil. Private companies do. So
they sell the licenses to drill.
They sell the licenses, but they don't. They don't control the infrastructure, the business plan, the wherewithal.
No, they just decide yes or no. That's all they do. They say you can do it or you can't do it. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And he will say yes, you can.
Yeah, but then they look at the economics of the situation, what the oil market's doing, what the supply side is, what the competition's doing. I mean, there's a lot of variables in there. It's not just drill, baby, drill. It's not like you just turn on the machine and it happens. Hey, here's a caller.
Good.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Listen, one thing I got to tell you, Roe v. Wade is no longer in existence.
Yeah, it's true.
Because look at, they just think having babies is a bad thing, but I don't. Guess why? Now I'm down to only 5 kids, and I lost my son, and he only made it to 40, being schizophrenic and Humboldt. Isn't any good, because when your IQ is too high, you can't think right. And I have a lot of relations with real high IQs, and some of them start drinking, and then their IQ drops.
That'll happen.
Yeah,
they get brain fogged, and then they don't make good decisions. And I think that's what's wrong with Trump. I think he drinks at night.
No, he's actually a teetotaler because...
Well, I don't believe that, because he's such a liar. He's on something. Who would ever treat women
that way?
He's on
Trump.
Well, misogynist is the answer.
He's on something.
He must be a rapist, misogyny guy.
He
kind of a predator on our money and trying to make the soldiers feel bad that they ever served in a war and stuff like that. I think he should go into labor.
You've got evidence
album.
For it.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah, no, Donald Trump's brother had an alcohol problem, and he watched it, his older brother, he watched painfully how that came down, and I think he decided, I don't want to do that. But there have been, of course, stories of his use of, the speed...
amphetamines?
No, there's what's the one that's for? I'm not. I want to say Atavin. No, it's for like an antihistamine sort of a thing. anyway, there was a picture while he was in office last time of him in the office, some office, and there was a drawer open behind him, and somebody zoomed in and said, "Aha! This is the high quality, higher potency European variety of this drug." You know. And, you know, in that movie, The Apprentice, they had the scene where he was popping these little diet pills. You know, it's great, man. They're like, it's like vitamins, right? You know, <it's...
laughs> now, that sounds like Trump.
Well, there was also a scene in there where he's at the doctor's office and he's complaining about, you know, he's losing his hair. He's getting a little pudgy. And it's like, what's happening? I'm getting this weight thing going on. I don't like it. What can we do about it? And the doctor says, have you tried exercise? And he said, no, exercise isn't good. I mean, the body only has a certain amount of power. Like it's like a battery. If you use it up with exercise, you're just wasting potential.
Don't remember to tell that to my wife. That's yeah. good one.
I mean, it sort of exemplifies his attitude about diet and so on. It's, you know. So in the movie, he had a you know, a liposuction of his gut and a scalp reduction at the same time. And so hopefully we don't get in trouble for saying this kind of thing on the air anymore, right? That's why you want to support free speech radio. Because, of course, the First Amendment guarantees what it guarantees. It doesn't guarantee that you have the ability to say something. It guarantees that the government cannot make a law that restricts that freedom. And people often forget it's not like the Bill of Rights creates rights. It protects rights from government interference, right? I can't say that often enough. And since civics isn't really taught these days anymore, you know, what do we care? Nobody cares. But you,
well,
as K-Mud listeners.
K-Mudders care.
Hey, yes.
And we are an expression of that unfettered right of human liberties of expression. America wouldn't exist without it, and we insisted on it and fought for it for years. And obviously, the fight recurs again and again. Remember, when Ben Franklin came out of the Constitutional Convention and a gentle lady asked him, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government have we selected? He said, a republic, if you can keep it.
Right. Have all this
and
is
it's
the
a
test.
Constant struggle. It's a constant struggle against money and privilege and power. And we're and obviously the people are losing that struggle now, but the fight goes on, as does the mud.
As does the mud, yeah. You know, and the idea that if we were imperiled by cuts in funding, well, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. We'd appeal for more money, and one of the things that responsible management does when you have less money is downsize a little. Of course, we don't want that to happen, but. It's not like we would have to go away. It was just we'd have to be modest. And we don't really want to be modest.
Yeah. In fact, shout out to Northern Humboldt, one of the first economies we could practice without immediately slitting our own throats is to cut back or eliminate our satellite transponders.
Yeah.
Lower charge the signal Right. Abandon no hum.
Well, that'd be a test, you know, if you guys don't want that to happen. I mean, you'd have to step up then up north, yeah.
It will become more and more of an issue.
Yeah.
Now, it has to be said, today our funding from the CPR, Public Broadcasting, is not in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. But who knows about tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because, you know, NPR is under attack right now. And okay, and here I go being Putin again. I think a case can be made that the voices that NPR puts on its national news coverage lean left. I mean, the fact that the Atlantic magazine, which might as well be the round table of the Democratic Central Committee, has its own show every week on NPR, and the Republican National Committee doesn't, is sufficient basis for attacks that will be coming.
Yeah,
there's
attacks,
more bases.
The attacks that they were going for were inappropriate advertising content.
Yeah, no, that's how it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have another caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, hello.
You're on the air, I believe.
Oh, well. Yes. Yeah, I don't have a lot of.
There
to
we go.
Say,
hi.
Except for Adderall, I think that's
Adderall. Yes.
Looking
ah,
for.
Thank
and,
you. Good.
I take a little umbrage with thinking that we can sort of let go of our northern neighbors.
No,
I agree.
A lot of
yeah,
people
no.
there that rely on KMUD as much as we do, and I know a lot of people up there.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not an ideal situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not endorsing it.
Not
I'm just
that,
saying.
That, not that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
yeah.
other cost-cutting measures, and I don't want to see any of them either, but
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, we need to stay united in Humboldt County, whatever we can.
Right.
It's kind of what we
yep.
got.
Yeah. So, yeah.
yeah thank I, you for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the idea that there is a pocket of population up there that we may have to tap into deeper, you know, and
well, they do know. A lot what they can, and, you
yeah.
know, just think of all
yeah.
our friends and neighbors that have moved north
yeah,
already.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yep. you're right.
You
know?
yep. Yeah, and
yep.
I have
yep.
a lot of coworkers that from up there that always lived up there or maybe worked down here or lived down here early on that live up there, and they all are real supporters.
Good, yeah.
It's
yeah.
well spread.
And, of course, you always can go to KMUD.org and donate directly there.
All right. I'll keep listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for your call. And I just want to say the only reason I mentioned that was because, you know, these threats are piling up. And I know that that has been what we're going to do is go from painful cut to more painful cut to more painful cut if that's the way we have to plan. Oh, God, and I should confess at this point that I'm going to be an incoming board member to KMUD.
Oh, my God.
I'm actually going to miss my first meeting next month because we're going to be traveling. But I'm, you know, getting up to speed on the issues we face under this administration, and it's daunting.
Yeah.
And that's why I really, much as I don't really like them, really believe in KMUD fundraisers. We need the money. We need the support.
Yeah.
And we may need it more and more and more than ever in the years ahead.
Righty.
So please think about that, folks.
Hey, so there was so many things we don't get to, but I did want to mention that there was a letter appeal to Congress from former Secretaries of Defense. This is the kind of thing you don't often see, but Secretary of Defense from 94 to 97, 2013 to 2015, 2021 to 2025, 2011 to 2013, 2017 to 2019, Mattis, Panetta, Austin, Hagel, and Perry signed a letter to Congress saying, we are nervous about what's going on, what the president is doing. Say what you will about, you know, the Department of Defense, but these are the people that know how it operates and what, you know, that there are duties that we rely on. And it's like this underbelly of what, you know, I would be not the one to endorse the work of the Pentagon, but the fact that higher up muckety mucks of the past are nervous about what it means for the security of the United States in the future gives one pause. That's about all I can say at the top of the hour here.
On that happy note, give us more money.
It is. I have it on the Politically Correct Week in Review Facebook page. I have a copy of it there you can review. And I also have the really embarrassing AI film that somebody created that Donald Trump happily posted on his social media site about the future of Gaza and the fact that so much criticism came out about it and that it remained on his site. I haven't checked recently if it's still there, but it says a lot that he didn't take it down because it's really crass. I mean, it's, you know, Trump, Gaza in gold, Netanyahu and Trump on the beach and, you know, Musk throwing money and it's over the top. Yeah, it's a real over the top.
All we have to do is get rid of the people who live there. There's only 2 million of them. Who cares where they go?
And
was the video.
And there's moves afoot in the hard right Israeli government. People are talking about this is a great opportunity. Let's plan for this. How long it would take? How many people have to be moved? Where are they going to go? They're already taking it as a good idea, and this is going to be wild, I think.
And remember, the first most of us heard of this good idea was Trump's son-in-law promoting
yeah, right.
The Gaza of the or the Riviera yeah. of the Eastern Mediterranean before Trump was even in office.
Right.
So, yeah, and, real estate interests are interested.
And meanwhile, the Palestinian Yale student who was prominent in the protest against the war has been taken away incognito. We don't know where he is exactly. They said they were going to take away his student visa. Turns out he's got a green card. And the you know, the action of taking it.
Oh, no, he has rights after all.
He has rights. So it remains to be seen what will happen there. But, yeah, it's coming down now.
Yep. No, it's underway.
And, of course, Marco Rubio announced that AI scanning of social media sites for people that are entering the country will indicate if they're pro-Palestinian, i.e. terrorists. Yeah. There you have it. Top of the hour. Support KMUD, support free speech. And I think also get active, be active. I mean, these are the times when creativity and artistic statements of support and solidarity for the goodness in life and the right thing to do is more important than ever. I just saw recently the War Resisters International, which spawned the War Resisters League in the 20s in this country, has come out with a new manual on nonviolent civil disobedience, which, of course, civil disobedience is a tool, but you have to know how to use it. And it's not just about standing up and yelling. It's, you know, there are tactics and tried and true methods. Talk to Gandhi about it, et cetera. Yes. So there you have it.
For another 2 weeks.
Future board member.
Don't make fun of me, please. I haven't got there yet.
We'll see. Okay.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.